Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we're going to kick off the show with some very cool, very big news here on this Thursday morning. I was just chatting with Michael Marino. Olympus Arms also has Mars, great firearms company, a gun business, and a firearms research and development company based right here in Montana. He's based in Helena, but he just got some big news, just won a big competition and won a big award from the United States Army. And I was chatting with Mike Marino offline just a few seconds ago. It sounded like his cell phone signal was breaking up just a little bit. So maybe that's him calling back in on a landline right now. But yeah, Mike Marino, if you guys don't remember, this was one of my favorite interviews from the SHOT Show, the world's biggest gun show down in Las Vegas. I've been there every year now for what, 4, 5, 6 years? I can't remember how many years in a row I've been down at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas. But one of my favorite interviews was a conversation with Michael Marino because, what was it, 2 years ago, they had the best in show gun at the SHOT Show. And then this year, we heard about a brand new weapon that they were offering up that was getting a big look from the U.S. Army. Let's see, Mike Marino, hopefully your cell phone signal is holding up. How's it going, Mike?
Hey, Aaron, it's going very, very well. Can you hear me okay?
I got you okay, yeah. So before we get to the first break, and then we'll talk more after that, tell us what this big news was that came out of the Army just a few days ago.
Absolutely. So we've been fortunate enough to win the Army's X-Tech Soldier Lethality Competition with our 30-millimeter precision grenadier system solution. It's a firearm that we call the Squad Support Rifle System. It's just a giant grenade launcher. It's like a giant carbine, 30-millimeter gun. It's amazing.
Yeah, so for those of us grunts, former grunts out there, that, you know, infantrymen that were familiar with the 203 grenade launcher, this is like the insanely new, super high-speed version of that.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, how would you describe that gun in, say, 30 seconds or less?
Yeah, it's a semi-automatic, 5-round magazine, direct-fire airburst grenade launcher. Shoots 30-millimeter rounds. I have a 5-meter lethal radius, airbursting, counter-defilade, counter-drone. We call it the most lethal shoulder-fire weapon ever made. It is just terrifying.
Yeah, one of these days I got to get out there and test it out with you, have some fun shooting.
Absolutely.
You know, if I'm going to talk about this stuff on the radio, you got to actually try it out firsthand, right? You can't just talk about
it. Of course.
You got to be about it. All right. Well, we're going to talk more with Mike Marino coming up here right after this. Yeah, in fact, I was looking back at my coverage from the SHOT Show Day 3 in Vegas back in late January, and I think that's when he first told us that his company was basically in the running, was a finalist for this PGS X Tech competition. And then the news now is, of course, they came out the big winner, Helena, Montana zone, Mike Marino. We'll talk more with him right after this. And then we're going to talk, we'll have phone lines open for you and much more.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky. Montana Talks.
All right. Senator Daines was on CNN. Senator Sheehy was on Fox News talking about that one big, beautiful bill and how they believe it will get across the finish line by the 4th of July. We'll talk about that and more and take your phone calls here in just a few minutes after our 9:20 break. But great to catch up with Mike Marino, CEO of Olympus Arms, and then also has his R&D company, as I understand it, known as Mars. So, yeah, Mike, I think it was back at the SHOT Show you were telling us how you were in the running for this PGS X Tech competition. Now the U.S. Army has come out. You're the official winner. And what an incredible Montana story. I mean, first you got the best in show gun at the SHOT Show. Then I think the governor announced, what, a $50 million investment for your manufacturing facilities in Helena. Now this, what does this award mean for your company and for future investments here in Montana?
Yeah, it's such a great question, Aaron, and I appreciate it. So what we've decided to do is that we are going to build the manufacturing of this system. In the event that we're selected by the Army to field to soldiers, we're going to build that manufacturing center in the facility here in Montana. And so that means high-paying jobs. It means good industry-based industry here in our state that we love, and we're really grateful for that and looking forward to that. So winning X-Tech gives us tremendous credibility with the Army. It gives us the opportunity to continue to compete. There's two more competitions we need to go through. And there's big money to support our research finally. And then if we are awarded that final contract, then we can build these systems right here in Montana. So we're really excited about that.
That's incredible news. How many of our fellow veterans and soldiers are just what we might describe as gun nuts out there would love nothing more than to work for a cool gun company like this and to support our troops out there in the field at the same time?
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, and more on this, I'll just call it the new 203, you know, because I was an infantryman, I got to keep it simple, right? So I
right.
couldn't,
there's, concept, right?
There's no way I could have engineered something like what you've just engineered here, but it's cool. I was looking back at my coverage from late January. I mean, it looks like almost like a normal AR, except for then you see what looked like to me like little Mark 19 rounds, right?
And
this,
exactly.
But I remember you describing this system to me back in January. You know, you think about drones on the battlefield right now.
And oh, yeah.
One of the things that I think we've learned out of Ukraine, Russia, is that, okay, we send them a bunch of tanks, but then their tanks can be defeated by simple, you know,
oh, yeah.
off-the-shelf drone technology. Well, this gun can take out those drones.
Exactly. Yep.
What are all the capabilities? Yeah. How would you describe the capabilities of what it's like to have this, you know, effective, you know, brand new 203 on your shoulder?
Well, that's why we call it the squad support rifle system. So when you think of fire support, you and I, we're ground pounders. We get out there, we call for fire. We need support from somebody else to maybe bring in mortars or artillery or air defense or whatever. Now we've put all of those things into the soldier's hand at the squad level. So the grenadier will now be able to take out a machine gun bunker with a single shot from 500 meters away. They'll be able to defeat a drone that's got surveillance or maybe even coming in to attack the squad. And we'll be able to have overmatch on all the enemy threat grenade launcher systems, because if you've seen those out there, those are pretty scary. So we've really boosted the firepower of the squad with something that is very similar to the M249 in weight and combat load weight.
That's incredible. Yeah, absolutely incredible. And then from a Montana manufacturing standpoint, by the numbers, what could that footprint look like in terms of, you know, dollars coming into the state, jobs coming into the state? What would the economic impact footprint look like?
So, Aaron, just this system, just to the U.S. military, we're talking about $2 billion of gross revenue over, let's say, 20 years total. And that's not counting our allies across the world.
Wow. And then what's the latest with the rest of your gun businesses as well? I mean, your gun that got best in show, I'm forgetting the name of it, but I just remember the Vulcan. There we go. Yeah. It's a recoil-less rifle, but not a recoilless like some people might think of. It's a rifle that does not recoil when you fire it. It's remarkable the way this thing works. Yeah, what's the status of that and some of your other products?
Yeah, so we're a little bit like Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory. We keep building these, and we're stashing them. We're building up for a big release. Again, at SHOT Show, we've got a brand-new product. It's an AR rebuild. It superpowers an M4 or an AR-15. And so it'll be a new product we plan on releasing at SHOT Show 26. But yeah, we're working in the lab and we're making the rifle better every day. And we're a small team. We have very little funding. Hopefully now we'll get some more that we've gotten some success with the Army, but we continue to work. We've never stopped.
Well, absolutely incredible. Congrats on your continued success. And I know you got your start as a sniper in the Army, and you thought, wait a minute, there's got to be a better way to do this. And so you built it yourself out of your garage there in Helena. Not to rub it in, but I've got this shiny new ID card on it that says retired military. Now, have you been able to retire yet, or are you still serving and building?
No, so I commissioned too late in my career, and if I had retired, I would have lost my commission and gone back to being a staff sergeant the fifth time, and I needed to stay in a little bit longer. So by this time next year, I will have also a shiny new ID card, but not until then. But yeah, still serving, still doing the guard thing, and I love it. You know, I'm getting a little older, can't run, but I love serving my country.
Well, I miss the people, though. That's what they always say. There's some things you're going to love about being technically retired, but you miss the people, and it's such an honor to wear that uniform. Mike Marino, thanks for your continued service. Thanks for being with us. Great to get this incredible update, and congrats on your continued success. Quick break. We've got phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, we got phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970. If you got something you want to talk about, you can treat it kind of like an Open Lines Friday right now. You can just call in whatever topic you want to call in and talk about, because actually, he'll probably be taking your phone calls tomorrow as well. I got a big graduation weekend for one of our kids this weekend, so we're so excited about that. So I'm taking Friday and Monday off, but the great David Noble is in the house Friday and Monday, so you guys are going to have a ton of fun with him. But let's see, who do we got first up on the phone lines here? We've got Craig in Laurel. Craig, what's on your mind this morning? Thanks for the call.
Four college kids murdered either in Idaho or in Washington. The news came out that one of the news magazines on TV revealed information that was not supposed to be revealed. So the judge required both sides to provide information on who had access to that information within 7 weeks, or 7 days, excuse me. And so I'm wondering if you heard any update about that.
Yeah, when did that I've been trying to follow that story. Just, you know, I've obviously read and heard some of the Fox News updates. So, yeah, no, I'll have to bookmark that and pay attention to it. Or maybe when did you hear that story? I can see if Fox News had an update on it. That's the Koberger trial in Idaho. Yeah.
Yep. That was probably 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I was inaccessible for 2 of those weeks, and so I forgot about it until now.
Yeah.
But he wanted to find out, because it would cause a mistrial or a change of venue.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that's
very expensive.
It's crazy to think that something like that would force a mistrial in such a despicable case, such a horrific crime that I know just shocked so many people here in Montana, especially with it being so close there in Idaho. Yeah, it'd be crazy to think that something as little as that would force an outright mistrial, just something that was leaked to the media. But yeah, no, I'll try to keep an extra eye on that story. Maybe I'll even ask Grok what the latest is on that. The Grok AI platform is very helpful for when questions like this come up that I may not have the answer for, and I'm sure one of our listeners might have the answer as well, but I'll see what Grok has to say here. Craig, thanks for the call. Next up, let's go to, I think we got, is it Mike in Big Timber? Yeah, there we go. Mike in Big Timber, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Aaron. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to respond to a caller you had at the 6 o'clock hour. I believe his name was Bruce.
Goose and Anaconda.
Was he the one who was voicing his objection to the Zionists in Tel Aviv?
Yeah, Goose. I asked Goose. I was like, Goose, why are you so anti-Israel? Why are you so against our friends in Israel? Because there is a slice of the, I don't know if you'd call it the libertarian community, that just is so anti-Israel, even though Israel's like our truest friend in the Middle East, especially right now.
Well, I object to the fact that he makes mention of the, you know, using the word Zionist and, you know, going after what he seems to think are the wealthy people in, you know, in Tel Aviv. They're, you know, running things. And it sounds to me like the Nazis diatribe in the 30s. So I'm appalled that he would. And then he turns around and says, I'm not anti-Semitic. I'm sorry. You are. The man is, in my humble opinion.
So well, I know, like, we've had the rabbi in Bozeman call into the show before, and they feel like, yeah, he's had a similar, when he's heard rhetoric like that, he feels like that is the same type of rhetoric that has been used in the past,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, and then also, like, okay, if you're going to use that rhetoric, I mean, the point that I made is, like, there are people that will say, well, you can't criticize George Soros because he's Jewish, and any criticism of George Soros is anti-Semitism, and it's like, okay, George Soros himself is the one funding the anti-Semitism in America. So
right.
Don't you dare tell me, like, just because of his ethnic background that somehow being anti-George Soros is anti-Semitic. And these are the same people, by the way, that will prop up their From the River to the Sea anti-Semitic chants on college campuses. So, yeah, like...
Well, I don't think he's Jewish myself. I don't believe he is. And he wasn't raised by a godfather. His father was a Hungarian Nazi. He went over to the other side. And Soros, is, in my opinion, is not Jewish at all. He's anti-Semitic.
Well, and the bigger picture is I think, you know, most Christians, you know, support Israel and stand with Israel and believe that you bless Israel, you will be blessed, right?
Absolutely.
And so,
absolutely.
But even from just a practical, common sense American foreign policy standpoint, Israel is about the only true friend we've got, the strongest friend we've got in that region. Now, President Trump is making a lot more friends right now after Joe Biden went in and burned the foreign policy house down across the Middle East, and his recent Middle Eastern tour is an example of that.
Right, right. Well, thank you, Aaron. Thank you for letting me voice my opinion.
Hey, anybody can call in. Yeah, anybody can call in. 406-294-0970, but great to hear from you, Mike. Speaking of Anaconda, we've got Jared in Anaconda. Jared, what's going on? Good to hear from you.
Hey, I just wanted to reflect on the comment that the guy was saying about Goose. Goose and I are on different sides of the aisle. He's right and I'm left. But we have met, and he's actually a nice guy.
Oh, yeah, he sounds
he
like a really good guy.
Weird,
yeah,
he might have some weird theories, but he's a nice man. I mean, I personally met him, so... Just wanted to let folks know that, you know, not everybody that views different points are bad folks. I mean, that's the personal reflection that he has.
One of my favorite lines,
you know,
Jared.
We all have our own.
Yeah, you know, Jared, one of my favorite lines. One of my favorite lines, this came from Kristen Wagner. She spoke at the Montana Family Foundation banquet a few years ago. Now she's the CEO of Alliance Defending Freedom. Which my wife works for, an incredible organization, but I tweeted out her quote at the time, and my wife didn't work for the organization then, but she said, disagreement does not equal hate. And that's your point here, is like, Jared, you're more of a Democrat, I'm certainly more conservative, but just because we disagree with each other doesn't mean we hate each other. That's why this Missoula flag story bothers me so much, because there are people that think that if you disagree with them, that you hate them. And it's like, no, just because we disagree doesn't mean we hate you.
Well, that's kind of my point, is, you know, we all have got to get along somehow or another, and there's more commonality than disagreement with, like, the real stuff that matters. Like, you know, just everything that matters is not just one person's idea. So... Anyways, have a
That's
good
right.
day.
Hey, you too. All right, Jared, great to hear from you. Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, like, it was funny. I had a message on our Montana Talks app yesterday from a guy who is gay, who didn't like my commentary about the Missoula rainbow flag. And I'm like, look. And so I sent a post out on X after the show, after I read that message, and I was like, look, straight, gay, whatever, you're all getting screwed by the city of Missoula when it comes to your taxes. Can I get an amen on that one? You know what I'm saying? All right, speaking of taxes, what about the permanent tax relief in that one big beautiful bill? This was what Senator Tim Sheehy had to say on Fox News.
I think we'll get it done. It's going to be a wrestling match, but, you know, Speaker Johnson got it through by Memorial Day. Everyone said that wasn't going to happen. They got it done. We're going to do the same over here at the Senate. And I think it's important to remember what this bill is and what it is not. This is not an omnibus spending bill. This is not authorizing multiple years of government spending. What this is doing is a targeted bill to focus on making the tax cuts permanent from 2017 to stabilize our tax code and give predictability to businesses and individuals. And it's providing unprecedented funding for border security and rebuilding our military, which are two critical areas, not only the president campaigned on, but the American people have been very clear they want to see those areas addressed, in addition to infrastructure investment like FAA upgrades to ATC, which are sorely, sorely needed.
Okay. All right, there you go. Yeah, so that was Tim Sheehy on Fox News with Bill Hemmer. Meanwhile, Senator Steve Daines, he was on CNN with old tap-tap-tapperoo, Jake Tapper, and Senator Daines was highlighting the economic growth that will come out as a result of this one big, beautiful bill.
Well, I tell you, one of the great principles that solves a lot of our problems, you look at our fiscal challenge in America, of course, we need to rein in the massive spending, but it's really about economic growth. That is a very important lever to throw, because without a growing economy, you're not going to have the tax revenues coming into Washington, D.C. And again, you know, for a 1% increase in GDP over 10 years, it's another $3 trillion of revenues coming to Washington. And so you can't cut your way out of this mess in Washington. Cuts are important, but we got to grow our way out of this mess with a economy that's growing at 3-4% annually GDP.
All right. Now, of course, Speaker of the House Mike Johnson has already been talking about what's next after the House delivered the one big beautiful bill before Memorial Day weekend. That was their key deadline. Now the House is already talking about spending cuts, not just through the annual appropriations process, that they're actually going to focus on following finally, but also through rescissions packages. In fact, one of those rescissions packages is already being presented to the House by the Trump team. And man, some of the crazy stuff that's contained in this first rescissions package is some of the spending that, of course, Joe Biden and John Tester and crew had supported. This rescission package contains billions in wasteful foreign aid and federal funding for NPR and PBS. They're doing away with the $3 million for Iraqi Sesame Street, millions for the so-called LGBTQ plus IA programs. Remember how they wanted to give money for transgender people in Nepal? Yeah, they're doing away with that. Remember the $3 million for circumcisions in Zambia? Yeah, they're cutting that one back, shall we say. So that's just the first rescissions package of hopefully many. Stand by, more calls next.
Substance use disorder and addiction is so isolating. And so as a Black woman in recovery, hope must be loud. It grows louder when you ask for help and you're vulnerable. It is the thread that lets you know that no matter what happens, you will be okay.
When we learn the power of hope, recovery is possible. Find out how at startwithhope.com. Brought to you by the National Council for Mental Wellbeing, Shatterproof, and the Ad Council.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on Earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
Consumer demand for beef continues to be a bright spot for cattle producers despite economic pressures. CattleFax's Matt McQuaig says strong demand is supporting record prices and rewarding producers out in the countryside.
That's one of the things that we really need to emphasize or recognize, just the difference compared to like previous years, previous cycles, is just how strong, how outstanding that consumer demand is or has been for beef. Obviously, the protein content, the quality, the high levels of upper choice and prime product that we're able to put out there has turned into strong consumer demand for beef. They've rewarded the cattle producers with more dollars in the system. Last month, all fresh retail prices, so beef in the grocery store, came in at $8.50 per pound on a U.S. average, record high levels. And these dollars at that grocery store then create margin in the system that is further divided up amongst beef producers. And so we really have a lot to be thankful for, just in terms or from that consumer standpoint, and how we're able to sustain these high prices.
McQuaig told attendees of last week's Montana Stockgrowers mid-year meeting in Butte that consumers are paying attention to price, but adjusting their budgets within the beef category to more affordable options like burgers and other cheaper cuts, rather than switching to other proteins like pork or chicken. I'm Lane Northblonde.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
A baby box. The first ever baby box in Montana, apparently. I could have sworn I saw a story about this a while back, but I just saw a story by the Montana Television Network. The first baby box in Montana at the Lockwood Fire Station. We're going to catch up with the Lockwood Fire Chief here in just a couple of minutes. Big thanks to our producer, Caden, for tracking him down with a last-minute request to see if he'd want to join us on the show to talk about that. So we'll get to that here in just a second. Plus, we'll get to more of your phone calls. First, though, let's go to Hannah Dietrichs in Libby. So Hannah emailed me a few days ago and told me about a very interesting event that they have coming up in Libby, Montana. In fact, actually, it starts today. It's called the Kootenai Creation Fest. Hannah, what do you want to tell folks all across Montana?
I want to let everyone know about this event that we have going on to try to bring anyone within driving distance who wants to check it out. We have a really full weekend of some really exciting things happening here in Libby. We're going to be having speakers from the Institute for Biblical Authority, Dr. Kevin Horton and Mike Mueller. There's also going to be creation scientist from Bozeman, Michael Ord, who will be leading field trips down to the Kootenai Falls to take people down there to be able to see the geology and how the flood has affected the rocks in our area and the landscape. There will also be Pat Roy from Creation Quest, who is the creator of Jonathan Parks, which is a really neat creation science radio program for kids that's geared that direction. There will also be, on Saturday, we're going to be having a lot of booths that will be led by different churches in our area and different community members who will be having interactive hands-on learning while the different speaking things are going on, and there's going to be tons of free food that will be there as well.
I love the idea here. Our friend Tracy Taylor, I shared your flyer and the information for the event with her, and she got a great write-up that's now on our Montana Talks website. So if folks want to see the whole rundown of events, when and where. Plus, man, if you don't live in Libby, what a great week for a road trip looking at the weather forecast here. It's such a beautiful part of the country. But I love the idea in the sense that you get outdoors, especially in God's country, which is Montana, and you see the – I mean – man, I'll tell you what, whether you have a faith or don't have a faith, you get outdoors in Montana, you know that there is an incredible creator out there.
Yes, yes. We're so excited to be able to get people outside and be a part of the community and really even be introduced to some of these different churches in our area and these speakers and scientists who are very well educated and really know their stuff, and to be able to kind of interact one-on-one with them even and asking questions and be able to really kind of shine a light in our area of a whole different sort of festival or of an event than we've seen in this area before.
Yeah, it's interesting, too. One of your speakers coming from Missoula, Montana. Remember, once upon a time, Missoula was completely covered in water. It was known as Lake Missoula. So, yeah, very interesting conversations to be had, that's for sure. Well, great to have you call in. Thanks so much, Hannah, for sharing the message. And, yeah, have fun at all those great events coming up over the next few days. And, again, the full rundown, MontanaTalks.com, for more on that story and a detailed listing of the events. All right, well, let's jump right into it here. I saw this report at the Montana Television Network, the first baby box in Montana. You see, just put the baby in the box. How many of you remember some of these movies? I had to go to Grok, Elon Musk's AI platform. By the way, Elon Musk is likely still in the Missoula area. That's the word on the street as we speak. But I had to ask Grok, what are some movies over the years that have featured babies being left on doorsteps? Maybe a baby being left on the doorsteps of a church. Maybe the baby being left on the doorstep of a fire department. Three men and a baby. Remember that one from the 80s? Three bachelors find a baby left on their doorstep with a note. Apparently there was a movie, Baby Boom, where Diane Keaton plays this powerful businesswoman who inherits a baby left at her doorstep by a relative. I feel like there are several more examples, but either way, great to have Lockwood Fire Chief Brandon Stevens now with us on the show. Chief, thanks for calling in.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
What a cool deal. First off, I guess, describe this baby box and how the whole thing came about.
Yeah, absolutely. So the box is really just a way for parents that are desiring to surrender their newborn under 30 days old in a safe manner. And really what it is, it's made out of like a poly plastic, and it's installed into the facility, and it's kind of like an incubator for lack of a better term, but it's temperature controlled. So in the winter, there's a heater in there that maintains a steady temperature that's right for a newborn. And in the summer, it's air conditioned, so it will continue to remain at that same temperature. And it's just designed so that somebody can put that baby in there anonymously. So really they come to the station, where it's located on the north part of the Lockwood Fire District station. They open the door, they place the baby in the box, and they close the door. The door automatically locks, and then it sets off basically like a fire alarm for us. And then we respond to the box and take care of the baby, do a quick paramedic assessment on it, and then we transport it to the hospital when Department of Family Services and the hospital staff take over. So, it's kind of a simple idea, but it's really genius, to be honest. And I think one of the things that the genius of this is that, you know, children are adopted after they're born in the hospital, and there's face-to-face surrenders that happen throughout the state. There are some parents that just, for whatever reason, just can't face another human being when they make this decision. And so having this available just kind of helps fill that gap.
Yeah, like you said in this TV report here, it's something you don't want to ever have to use, but if it's needed, it's there. Because, yeah, you might be out on a fire call or might be inside the fire station you might not have known. And so, yeah, a baby left outside could really it could be very dangerous. And so it's something you hope to never use. Is this just stuff we see in the movies, or how often does this actually happen where babies are left on doorsteps?
Yeah, you know, that was kind of our question when it was brought to my attention from Captain Kevin Sparrow here at the Lockwood Fire District. He approached me last fall and said, hey, you know, would I be interested in allowing this here at the station? And he had already secured an anonymous donor to pay for everything. And I was like, absolutely, you know, let's do this. But the question came up like, well, how often is this thing going to get used? Well, as we've worked with the Safe Haven Baby Box Company, they've kind of opened our eyes that there's quite a few scenarios around the country where people are leaving children, you know, newborn children, either in, you know, it's kind of like that old you know, the saying, a dumpster baby. But it actually does happen a little more often than probably people realize. And so, you know, I don't have the data on that. Safe Haven Baby Box Company, actually, they have some of those numbers. But they also said it's probably not necessarily underreported, but underrecognized. They showed a bunch of videos in our training about, you know, people caught on video, you know, putting babies in plastic sacks and put them in dumpsters. So there is a number of babies that never get found. So
provides that option. It's so incredible what you're doing, what you did, and it was great to see the chaplain for the Montana State Firefighters was there to give the blessing for the official opening. Lockwood Fire Chief Brandon Stevens, thanks for what you do. Thanks for your service. Give a thanks to all the firefighters there, and thanks for calling in to Montana Talks. What an honor to catch up with you here. Quick break, back right after this. Hey, for the next.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You killed the Joe, you make some mo. How many guys have used that phrase? You know, if you finish off the last of the coffee, make another pot. Sometimes we get a little busy, though, and we don't have enough break time to make another pot. But at the top of the 9 o'clock hour, I was going to go refill my coffee cup, but there was no Joe in the pot. But then I thought, wait, no problem. I said, I've got this whole box of Power Plus Pain Aid in my studio. And actually, that sounds better right now anyway, because I liked it. I love my hot cup of coffee earlier in the morning, but a little later in the day, I like the cooler energy. And that's what this is, really. It's good medicine here. It's Power Plus Pain Aid, meaning it's an energy drink that also has those pain-relieving vitamins. I like that it makes my neck feel like it loosens up. You know, how many of you're stuck on a stupid computer or your phone so much that you feel it in your neck? Well, this loosens up my neck. But it's an energy drink without all the chemicals, and it's got the pain-relieving vitamins, and it's made by a Marine Corps veteran from Big Fork, Montana. Here's how you can get your hands on some of this stuff as well. Go to drinkpowerplus.com. And for all of our Montana Talks listeners, enter the code FLINT15, FLINT15, and you get 15% off your order at drinkpowerplus.com. All right, back into the phone lines we go. David in Bozeman, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I just had a comment on the current red flag law that was just passed. I'm in a situation that where I've been treated worse than those that are covered under there. Currently, the family court has taken away my rights. Even though I've committed no crime, I have a clean state and federal record. There's no abuse or situation or violence. I'm a disabled vet, so there's a little bit of mental health in there, which I've always sought treatment for. And I'm pretty much consulted a 2A attorney, and I'm just basically left with just beg the court at the next opportunity. There's nothing to be done.
Hmm. So have they taken away, has the court taken away your gun rights, even though you haven't been, you know, found guilty or anything like that, but they've already stripped away your gun rights?
Yeah, they stripped it away, but it's through the family court, like the parenting plan. So even though I have a clean state and record, there's no restriction there. The restriction is in the parenting plan.
Interesting. Well, I'll tell you what, if you haven't done it yet, I would encourage you, reach out to Gary Marbot and the Montana Shooting Sports Association, the Montana MSSA.org, I believe, is the website, if I remember correctly. But I would ask them about it, because Gary has literally not only written the book, but he's written a lot of the laws over the years to protect gun rights. But I would ask him, A, if there's already a law in the books that should protect you, or B, if this new ban on red flag laws would protect you as well. I know the bill got signed into law, but sometimes the law may not go in effect until, say, October or something. So Gary Marbot would be a great reference to check with on that topic. But thanks so much for calling in. Appreciate it. Next up on the phone lines, we've got Representative Eric Albus I believe out of Hinsdale, House District 28. Eric, I see you want to talk about the drought. Man, I flew Cape Air to Glasgow over the weekend, and you could just see how dry it was all across northeast Montana there.
Yeah, it really is, Aaron. You're getting me on. And I just want to know up here on the Highline that I've been in contact with county commissioners and the governor. Yeah, we're starting to look for a disaster declaration up here. It's as bad or worse than I've ever seen it. It's right there with 88%.
Nice. Oh, and it's
sounds like your cell phone signal's breaking up a little bit there. Hold that thought, because sometimes the cell phone will kick back in here in a second, because I definitely want to hear more from you there, Eric Albus. But yeah, recently we had the head of the Bureau of Reclamation on the show talking about, you know, St. Mary's, and we referenced how dry it is right now. I mean, and then I got a note from Marco Manukian, who's the co-chair for the St. Mary Rehabilitation Working Group. And yeah, I mean, he just showed me how dry it is out there. I think it was a Seiko flat photo he sent. He said, the fields I did not irrigate are bad. We're still spreading a little water, but things are horribly dry here. The native range has just not greened up at all. Winter wheat is a total loss, and spring wheat is right behind it. So that kind of gives folks a sense of just how dry it is up there. And especially with St. Mary's, I mean, thankfully they're going to get that up and running, hopefully later this month, but a disaster declaration certainly seems like it needs to happen here. Are you still with us, Eric, or did you drop?
Yep.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Yep, I'm still here. I'm back. I've shut the pickup off, so now we should be good here. But this is as dry as I've ever seen it. Like Marco said, where it hasn't greened up the native range, it is not greened up at all. We got an inch of rain about 8-10 days ago. It did nothing to green the grass up. The only place we have any green is where the snowmelt ran, and there's a little green in some creek bottoms. But other than that, it's terrible. And I've been in contact with the county commissioners and the governor, and as well as our congressman back in Washington, D.C., because this is as tough as I've ever seen it.
Well, in a way, it's kind of predictable that a disaster declaration should have been anticipated, too, because of the fact that we knew that St. Mary's was down. I mean, thankfully, that's going to be back. They hope to complete that project here by the end of June, but it seems like either regardless, a disaster declaration is needed.
It is, and it sounds like we'll get roughly 40% of the water that everybody needs out of the St. Mary's project for this year, which is a lot better than nothing, and I applaud the people for getting things done ahead of schedule. Originally, they were talking in September before we had water running. Now it's looking like the end of this month, so that was really good on their part.
Well, thanks for the call. Thanks for the update. Well, we got to do more of this, and so I appreciate you getting that on our radar. All right, David Noble in the house tomorrow for Freedom Friday.